Hello.
Boys and girls, it's the Scarborough Dude. Talking to you from the leadership camp that I have been coming to these past, more or less every July, August, these past 14 years. I believe today is August 1st. We have just arrived 2 hours ago. And I am podcasting from a horizontal position, which I know is a no-no, in my cozy room number 24, same room I get every year. Thrilled to be back at camp with my girls. And while they are out doing the orientation, I have just set up my room oh so comfortably, put my running shoes away, got my NASCAR slippers out, set up the bar, loaded the fridge with beer, several different kinds, looking forward to that first one, couple in the freezer, set up the bar in my room. There's a little fridge bar where we have our main meeting room, a staff bar. And then in my room, I've got, one, two, three bottles of wine, a bottle of whiskey, and snacks, you know, different kinds of nuts and things, chips, for the evening after the girls have gone to bed. We just gave them the rules, 10 o'clock, in your room, no running down the hallway. The girls are a delight as always, well-behaved, and absolutely no trouble whatsoever. And here I am to enjoy this tour, and my God, you hear my ups and downs. You know, if you listen to me regularly, I go from week to week, I can hit lows, highs. But this is always a tremendous high. And I know I've been envious. You know, all those people have their summer cottages and getaway. And yet, here I am for a week in my own room. Beautiful pine room, huge. Set up magazines. I got my Malcolm X book, a couple of old Toronto Life I never got through. I'll never read any of them, there's never any time. My computer's set up, my iPod Touch, if I decide I'm going to actually do some work updating my, Quicken files. I probably will later. But just wanted to touch base with you while I am up and excited. I think what I'm going to do now is have a little nap, short nap, because it's just the sheer luxury of being able to have a nap. And now my work is done, the 11 days in Toronto. I got all the girls onto the coach this morning, saying goodbye to the whole families, many in tears. Families coming up to me, wanting to know the dates for next year, ready to repeat. And it is just such a wonderful feeling. And the rush, bear with me, I apologize for going on, but the joy of knowing you're doing something positive, that you've brought some people together who didn't know each other before, and there's been an exchange with families, with children, with some elderly people, and something really special has happened. And you've widened that little circle of friendship and understanding, and you feel very, very good about it. And in spite of my woes about the future and the finances and no pension, blah, 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 who gives a fuck? What I have done is something very, very nice, to create a little bridge between Canada and Japan. That was the goal I set out to do, and that is what I have achieved. And have done it for 15 years now. It's a huge part of my life. And damn it, it feels good. So I just thought I'd share that with you. I just wanted to, I don't think I've done a good job, but I wanted to share a little bit of the joy that's in me now, in my heart. Just being so happy. There are so many aspects to my job. And as you know, I'm a people person. And that doesn't mean I get along with everybody. It means I'm fascinated by people. So every time there's the slightest nuance of an issue, a misunderstanding between a host family and a student, part of my job is to sort that out, to filter it, to find out the different sides, how the story could be interpreted, how it could be misinterpreted. For example, why did one family give the students a book about some event during World War II. Generally a topic students aren't prepared to talk about or comfortable talking about, and some families perhaps feel they should be, but hey. Anyway, I will peruse that book before it goes into the school library, if it does. My job as I get up to the staff, I get up here to a new part of the program. We've left Toronto, we've left the homestay, the host family situation. We are now at camp. My job here is to ease that transition. First thing I do is walk up to the camp, tell them, my job is to make you guys happy. That's how I address the three camp staff here. And tell them, because if you're happy, then my kids are happy. And if my kids are happy, then I'm happy. And everybody understands that I'm right up front, right from the beginning. Whatever I can do to make the staff's job easier here, just tell me. And of course, I'm saying it knowing full well nothing could be easier than teaching a group from Japan who are so well behaved, so well disciplined, so well organized, especially after 15 years at the same school. It's clockwork. It's beautiful. You want groups? We got groups. You want group leaders? We got group leaders. You want numbers? We got numbers. You know? It's absolutely beautiful. Anyway, I'm going to shut down now and put this out to you sometime, somewhere, somehow. Just thought I'd share that. Getting a little loon action. Wish I had a super good mic to pick it up. Didn't have any last night. Now it's early, 7:30 here on the deck. Sun still high in the sky. Overlooking Bark Lake. Oh. Hard to capture and talk at the same time. Students are off on a sensory hike. I decided I'd stay here, alone, enjoy some peace, quiet time. Actually, cobbling together another podcast, or the pieces that I've already recorded. Maybe this will be at the end, maybe at the beginning of another, depending. Yeah, here, enjoying this wonderful place. I guess it's my 13th year here. 15th for the tour, but we've used other camps. Stayed up till 1 with the teachers last night, drinking, sampling different beer, and talking about life and death. Interesting, one of the teachers, their parents are Buddhists. And we were all comparing our philosophies, our ideas, standing on the deck, looking up at the stars and trying to put things into perspective. It was really quite wonderful, and it's the one thing I enjoy so much about being here and how right it all is. If you can just hang on to that understanding. Well, I guess the loons have stopped for now. I'll come back in a little while, okay?
Seems like it's on. Sorry. Got a head start on me there. Hang on. There we go. And pour a little of that into here. We've got ourselves a Devil's Pale Ale. And I guess that's the joke, because it sure ain't pale. Great Lakes Brewery, a strong beer. I normally don't like strong beer, 6% alcohol. But this, The Devil Made Me Brew It. From Toronto's oldest craft brewery comes this deliciously robust and flavorful ale. Brewed with 6 select malts and 4 premium hops, Devil's Pale Ale has a rich mahogany color, true, reminiscent of early English pale ales. The wonderful hoppy aroma is revealed even before your first sip, followed by a hearty, malty body, and culminating with a pronounced bitterness. Prepare yourself for a devilishly good time. All right, handcrafted since 1987. Here goes, folks. You know, for that kind of beer, the strong beer, this is certainly pretty damn good. I mean, it's not strong like, you know, your 7, 8%, 6% within reason. But it is quite a distinct taste. It tastes powerful, but good. And I'm having that at 5 o'clock on, I don't know what, Saturday afternoon? Sunday, maybe? Sunday, I guess. Sorry. A few chips. But got these at Shoppers Drug Mart. They have their new Nativa brand of organics. And this is herb and garlic. And it's quite good. Quite good. Yeah, I'm at the deck. On the deck. Overlooking the lake. Nobody around. The girls are still out in their afternoon activities. I skipped all activities today. Shamefully. Well, no, I went to the ecology session in the morning. And they had a good idea. They just take a 1 meter strip of rope, tell the students to throw it on the ground, you know, walk into the forest a little bit, throw it on the ground, and then just study. Get down on your hands and knees and look deeply into the earth. Dig it up with your fingertips and find what's living, what's non-living. Find out what are the, what's the habitat? You know, where do they get their water? What's living there? If it's living there, how have they adapted to that environment? Very good. Hands-on session. So it's not just a question of the high ropes, which they did yesterday, the canoeing, which they did the day before, and the hikes, but it really is teaching them a little bit about the environment, ecology. Last night we had our loons calling. That is always a highlight for me. And best of all, I stay up with the teachers each night. That's part of a tradition. It's called Ken's Bar, and I've been doing this for 15 years. And we just talk, and we get into deep conversations on religion, death, afterlife, if there is, the nature of God, personality, Japan, culture, Canada. Absolutely wonderful times. And over drinks, I come up, as I told you in previous podcast, stock up on wine and beer and things to enjoy together. Snack food, and then we have a delightful time after all the girls are in bed, sound, well, tucked away in their beds. We stay up and we talk, and off until as late as 1 in the morning. Last night I stayed up on my... Oh boy, dearie me. Listen, my last segment was cut short because... It appears I'd left the Eye River on record and filled up about 3 hours of the Eye River sitting in a bag. Nothing to salvage there, but the battery died and I ran out of recording space. But here I am back again. Solve that problem. It's about 1:30 in the morning. It was Sunday night. I was going to go to bed early, but I never do when I'm camping, and so I grab naps during the day,
Just because I know I got to keep going out. Tomorrow's a big day, apparently. We're doing a theme day of Alice in Wonderland. The girls aren't going to have a clue what it's about. And I've got to be the Caterpillar and the Mad Hatter. And I think they're going to put me in costume and whatnot. So I don't know what to expect out of this. Something crazy. I just hope I survive the day. I'm used to coming back to my room and just having naps. The girls have activities like, you know, morning, noon, and night. And I opt out as many as possible so that I can, you know, I do some work on the computer. You know, I updated all the bills today. I signed the graduation certificates. But most of all, I'm just sort of lying on the bed, maybe listening to the iPod or, you know, reading a little bit. One more thing about that iPod Touch that, you know, I'm not using it much for music. A few podcasts, yeah. But I did get to see Tim Coyne on the video, and that was pretty cool to have, a good size, just to see Tim do his stand-up routine on the Blueberry Muffin, which I had heard, 2 weeks prior to that as audio, and then get to see him do it as a performance. It was very cool. Hey, Tim, if you're listening, I enjoyed that. It's a pretty cool feature to be able to see the guy up there on stage. That was fun. Anyway, back to camp. So tomorrow's a full day. And what am I doing staying up to 1:30? Well, my job is to look after the teachers. And I do have that reputation that when teachers come, Ken is going to supply you with all the booze you need and the snacks, and you're going to stay up late and talk every night. And we've been doing that, and it's been quite wonderful. Tonight was about relationships and, values. What do you look for in a partner? What does it mean to share the same values? Because I'm with a slightly older teacher who's married and has children. And a very young, very nice, very bright young teacher who's still single at the age of 29. And so was worried. Ah, I can hear the loon in the background. Listen, while we were out on the deck, I mean, we went through quite a bit of beer. And then I had a little bottle of Glenlivet. So I had a couple of good shots of that out on the deck. And it was cloudy all day, but we got sunset. We paddled out. This was another wonderful thing. The girls went out in the warrior canoes, the great big ones. And there's no room for the teachers. So I got to paddle the two teachers out, and that was fun, just getting back into a canoe again. I always love it, and I know what I'm doing in the canoe, more or less, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, got them out to the beach. They sang songs, built a fire, and what was the point? The beach, singing, sharing things, Ken's bar. Damn it all, it's completely gone. Just how lovely. Oh, that's right. Out there, the sky was overcast, and then just a break in the clouds above the horizon, and the sun came out for sunset, just in time for sunset. And it was beautiful as the girls sat around the campfire with the sun shining directly onto their faces to look into these lovely faces of these 16-year-old girls. Each one completely different, different character, different makeup, physical. What is it, physiognomy? I don't know. Study of the face. Just quite neat. And great camping staff here, getting them, leading them in sing songs. And so that was just beautiful. And then another nice paddle back in the dark, semi-darkness. And the peace of just being out in the middle of a lake. It's wonderful, wonderful. Anyway, the teachers and I stand out on the deck, have this conversation. It's overcast. Gradually, the clouds blow away, and we've got another beautiful view of the sky and the Milky Way at its finest. And tonight, each of us, on our own, saw a shooting star. And that's something we've been wanting for a long time. One teacher got the first, I got the second, and the other teacher got the third. that none of the rest of us saw. It was just beautiful to catch that bonus and, of course, the cry of the loon. So, you know, nothing exciting, but everything just absolutely wonderful. Now, I gotta go to bed, damn it, because I got a full day tomorrow. So, look, I can't stay up all night talking to you, thinking of things to tell you. I'm just telling you now, the Scarborough dude is in his element, feeling very, very good and very, very happy about what it is I'm doing and what is the purpose of my life. And right now it's to interact with other human beings and make them feel good. Bye for now. Good morning. Ah, there goes the boat with one group. I have been given a reprieve, which is great because I am tired. You know, you gotta get up before 8 for breakfast if you want to eat. And, by the way, there's only one motorized pontoon boat, and that's just for ferrying people back and forth. Otherwise, this is just strictly a canoe, kayak, and voyager canoe lake, and it's very, very quiet. The girls are all marching off. The staff member showed up, our leader, Adam, dressed as the White Rabbit, and it was just perfect. We have another staff counselor here who really specializes in costumes. She had me dressed up as Dumbledore last year from Harry Potter, which was a theme that's now it's Alice in Wonderland. So Adam showed up wearing, like, you know, a giant card made out of paper and a ruffled feathered neck and full makeup with a red nose and white cheeks and carrying a stopwatch and just coming in and telling the girls, hurry up, he's got to find the queen. And off they've gone. Now, I'm going to motor out, probably in that same pontoon boat, later on to bring the lunches and appear in costume as the Mad Hatter with apparently a giant hat. So, oh, I hope I can get into it. It should be fun just being zany. And it's quite, the girls, you know, their faces, just what the heck is going on? It's just, you know, this program that I run, I mean, you know, I only do the one, and of course, you know, my wife wonders, well, you know, why hasn't your business grown? But in fact, I can only devote myself to this one thing once a year. And we got it right the first time, this element of Toronto for multicultural experience, modern-day Canada in our biggest urban center. Second week, out in nature. To learn, and like yesterday, they taught them wildlife, and then the manager of the place, Bonnie, came in with a box full of pelts, you know, the hoof of a moose and the beaver pelts with the fur shaved off, the kind they'd use to make the hats, beautiful Arctic fox, and all these perfectly skinned pelts for the girls to touch. Showed each one, had a picture of each one, the name, and then just let the girls, all right, stand up and touch them all. The loon is back. God. So, I mean, that's really wonderful. That's hands-on, literally. And today they'll have challenges to find the queen and who knows what else. Can't see the loon, but I can hear him. A little bit of a wind picking up. One thing, you know, so the second week, sorry, is celebrating, you know, nature in Canada and learning a little bit about our history. And then the third week is the history and geography tour, which I lead on the coach to Ottawa, Quebec City, Museum of Civilization, the art gallery as well, a national art gallery, but Canadian culture. And it's truly a wonderful, wonderful 23-day intensive program at one of an excellent school in Japan. And it's something I'm deeply proud of and thought for a while this would be my last year. Now it looks like no. With a little bit of tough negotiations, I'll probably be able to continue. So anyway, that's good. It's fine. I still have to go out there and make a living and do something the other 11 months of the year. But we'll work on that. One thing I noticed when I came up this year, they had Wi-Fi. I don't know if I told you this, but I was pretty excited. Oh, good, good, good. I got my toy. So, of course, right away, I've got my little iPod Touch out, and I'm trying to pick up
signals, you know, and I was told, okay, the office has got one. They also have a repeater in the dining hall. So go to the dining hall. You get good reception. So into the dining hall. And it's very slow because of all the weekend, holiday, Toronto cottage traffic clogging up the system. But I found myself on too many occasions sitting, pushing buttons, deleting junk email, because I set up my emails on the iPod and it doesn't have the filters that I, you know, a spam filter with the stuff. I never even see the other crap and delete with a touch of a button. I'm downloading every bloody Viagra penis enlargement sized email that's out there. Very, very, very annoying. And finally I said, what are you doing this for? Just because you have Wi-Fi, do you have to use it? Just because you have that toy, this is perhaps not the time to play with it. And I was a little bit shocked. Like, I'm carting around my iBook. Okay, maybe the iBook's got better reception. There I went. So I think I've managed to put it in perspective. I do bring it up in the morning, and what's pretty neat is our nearest big center that would have weather reports for is Bob Cajun. Now, I just love the word Bob Cajun, and you know, if you're a fan of the, what's that stupid Scarborough group? The guy just got busted for coke in the States. The Bare Naked Ladies. I thought they sang. Maybe it's not. Maybe they don't sing. No, they probably don't sing about Bob Cajun. Maybe that's another group. That group from Kingston. Yeah, I don't know. You know, sorry. I just like the word Bob Cajun. Bob Cajun. Bob Cajun. So I get the weather reports for Bob Cajun. You know. So it's cool. It's neat. But it's unnecessary. And in a place like this, you've got to learn a little discipline. Stay away from the bloody internet, you know. Make the most of this. You'll get it. You get to Ottawa and you're going to have Wi-Fi in your hotel and you can check at night and do what you have to do. But don't piss around with it here. Get with the program. So a little word of advice to anybody out there. If you're stupid enough like I am to wreck a nice, peaceful spot. God damn it, I'm hearing another... Well, that boat is gone. I don't know, what are they doing? Testing it or what? This is very unusual. Now, mind you, there are no canoeists out. Now there are two people on it. I wonder. Anyway, folks, it's glorious. It's just a beautiful, clear, sunny day. I'm standing right on the deck, standing right on the edge of the lake, except, you know, up about... how many meters would that be? Well, if I fell, I would break bones, put it that way. Perhaps, yeah, probably survive, but not in good condition. That's how high I'm up. Overlooking, it's a corner spot in a clearing between a couple of trees and looking out the best view possible of the lake and hearing distance from the loon. Okay, so what am I going to do? You know, I'm reading Toronto Life, perfect magazine to bring up to the cottage in the country. Toronto Life is a great magazine. It really is. It's not just about what's going on in the city, which is, but you find that on the internet anyway. But they do have a lot of good articles. It's really worth reading. A little bit like what Saturday Night magazine used to be. Did you need to know that? Probably not. All right. Bye-bye. Okay, folks. I gotta tell you, this is a first. Even for me. I'm on an island... middle of Bark Lake. I just got dropped off by the boat we ferried across some supplies. The girls have gone back, walked back through the woods to the rooms, I guess, to have a pee break, and they're going to get in the Voyageur canoes and paddle their way over here to build rafts. They gathered twigs from another spot. They were transported over here. They're going to get over here to build rafts to put the pieces of Humpty Dumpty, a.k.a. Mr. Potato Head, onto the raft and float away. It's all part of our Alice in Wonderland game. I'm the Mad Hatter. Now, I was given this fabulous costume, great big tall top hat. Maybe there's a picture there will be a picture. It'll go with this website. Big hip wader boots, which were folded over, a tight red vest, and long black gloves. And I was supposed to act a little bit zany. It was a little bit hard, being a bit stupid, but I did it anyway. We had the Mad Hatter. We had the Queen. We had the Cheshire Cat, staff members. But
The unique thing about the situation right now, alone on this island, knowing the girls are not going to be back for 45 minutes, and don't shudder when I tell you this, bear with me, I am stark naked. Seriously. I've never done this before. I got the idea in my mind. I took my pants off because the hip waders leaked and we had to wade through some ucky swamp. So my socks and pants were soaked underneath. Took the pants off down to my underwear and thinking, man, why not go all the way? Why not sit on a rock, which I'm doing right now, completely starkers, naked. I've never done it before. And I got to tell you, folks, it really feels good. It honestly feels good. I mean, I know I'm safe. There's nobody can get out here. You know, I'd see boats in the distance if anybody was. You can't walk to this part of the island. I thought, like, why stand around in a pair of gray underwear? Excuse me. Go all the way. Oh, my God. I mean, you can make me damn sure I'm going to be fully clothed before the students get back. In fact, I don't think I'll stay this way too long. But I think I'm going to walk around a little bit just to feel what it feels like. It's a beautiful sunny day to have your dong hanging out in the sunshine. And I got a pair of black soft slippers on, and that's it. Yeah, let's go for a little walk. I mean, for some of you, I'm in a 60-year-old man. That's probably an ugly scene. But goddamn it, I've never done this before. I have never been to a nudist camp. And I think, I mean, if the word got out, if somebody did see me, oh my God, I might be banned. But here I am, walking. I'm on the other side of the island now. It's just a little tiny island. Standing there. And I'm sure I'm not the first person to do this. But it's a first for me. God damn, it feels good. And I got that idea in my mind, you know. I have a few toots with me, you know, a few Ricky Nelsons. And I thought I could light up. Get into it, you know, I could do that. And a voice was saying, well, why not, man? You know. Don't give in. Just do what you want to do. Don't listen to authority, man. Challenge all the time. But by the time I got here, I don't need to have a J to enjoy this. I need to get all my clothes off. That's even better. God, I don't think I've ever felt this way. It's just nice. It's just a sense of freedom. Like just having your balls hanging out, standing under the pine tree. God, it feels good. I'd love to do this more often. I'd like to do it with some women around. That'd be nice, too. But I don't know. Maybe I should try nudist colony sometime. Maybe that'd be good. Maybe that's another step. I had a girlfriend who was a masseuse. And God, did she ever do a nice job. And she had a client in West Vancouver, a ritzy part. And he was a regular nudist and would go back down to Mexico to his favorite nudist colony every year. And she would join him sometimes. I mean, he was an old man. She was a young woman in her 20s. Oh, boy. Now that was a nice relationship while it lasted. God, better watch I don't get a boner. Just thinking about that. No, that's not going to happen. So, anyway, I feel obliged. You know how it is to share things with you. It would not be the same in a bathing suit. Standing here naked feels so good. That there's a gentle breeze, and just to feel the breeze across your ding-dong ding, your balls, cheeks of your ass. God, it's nice. So there you go, podcasting naked from Bark Lake. A first, and believe me, I mean, I'm here with 33 girls. I'm not playing games. I'm not doing this for, there's nothing twisted about what I'm doing, and I don't want anybody to get that wrong, you know. Like, I'm not going to be hanging behind the trees peeking at the girls or anything. I'm going to be fully clothed in a very short time. But I timed it. I know how far the boats are, and I know that it's another good 40 minutes before they get back here. So I'm just doing it just to explore, just to try a new sensation. You got to do that in life, you know. Here, walk a little more under the pines. I'd be mighty shocked if I did find someone at the other end of the island, though. Holy fuck. Nice to fart in the open, too. Nope, nobody around. Nobody can see me walking through the trees now. It's a lovely little island. I've been here many, many times before. Part of our program. I'm deep in the pines now. Oh, feel the wind blowing through the pines. God damn, I'm telling you. My dong is happy. He's just happy hanging out. He said, why didn't you do this more often, buddy?
Christ almighty, you keep me cooped up in those underwear all the fucking time. 24 hours a day I'm cocooned, wrapped up, tight. Let me out once in a while, man. Feels good. And it does. Enough of a breeze. I don't have any bugs or anything attacking me now. But the sensation that I'm feeling right now is absolutely fabulous. Maybe some of you out there already know this. Maybe some of your listeners are tuned in, have tried it. I'd like this to spend a lot more time in my life naked. And if that sounds like, you know, a perverse old man, well, sorry, because that ain't where I'm coming from. It's just au naturel. All right, we'll leave it there. I think you've probably had enough. You've probably got more than you ever wanted to know. And I'll go back to reading a book and eventually, regretfully, put on my pants. They're lying on a rock right now, drying out. I mean, that's the reason, you know. But, God, it feels good. Really good. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Hey, hey, hey. I borrowed that. Sorry. It's me again. 5:30 on August 5th. And I'm standing in my favorite spot at this camp, just right on the corner of the deck. I think I told you about it last time, quite high up, overlooking the lake. And it is beautiful. It's calm, it's clouded over, there's a softness to everything, a real quiet. The loon action we've been getting has been fantastic. I heard calls last night I've never heard before. It sounded like two of them were fighting a domestic dispute. But it was quite wonderful. And then we had the girls out after their showers in their pajamas outside on the deck to look at the stars. But there's a few too many lights coming from the building itself. So we took them out to a roadway where it was dark. And my gosh, it was exciting. When they saw their first shooting star as a group, they just went crazy. They just, wow. And today we've had a nice day. The orienteering in the morning. Now, I've been skipping almost everything. I've kind of been there, done that, and I really do like to just take the time, relax in my room, read a book. I'm still reading Malcolm X, if you can believe it. Getting close to the end. I've got to go see that movie. I've never seen the movie. And I'm kind of excited about that now that I know a little more about him. We've just come back from the beach where the girls had their traditional swim in the lake. That's always a treat. They enjoy it so much. And just to hear the energy level and the girls playing, just playing volleyball, you know, bouncing beach balls around and just having fun, splashing each other. Real high level of energy and excitement. It's nice. And tonight we're having a going away party the staff is putting on for us. It's going to be quite nice in the pavilion, so sheltered. The girls are going to sing their traditional songs again and dance in their happy coats. And the staff have prepared a slideshow of activities and things that the girls have done over the time they've been here, which is really nice. I mean, it's a lot of extra for our group. And that's the way we like it. I've already booked next year's tour, the dates here to keep our spot at this very, very special camp. And deal with the fallout later when I have to negotiate. Not too much to say. I know the last clip I included here, some of you might have thought that was a bit weird, you know, out in the island there, but no, it wasn't. It was just plain nice. Hang on, I gotta snap open the top. Hang on, would you? Yeah, I had the, I got a Hockley's Dark in my coffee mug. Didn't want any of the girls to see me drinking beer. Hang on. Oh, that's good. I just needed one. I've been sharing with the teacher, so it's cut into my supply, of course. But we got 5 cans left for tonight and a bottle of sweet ice wine one of the teachers bought. And then I've got a couple of bottles of scotches, so we're okay to get us to Ottawa tomorrow. And so it'll be a whole different part of the tour. That's kind of why I want to wrap up this segment here. It's just, It's very, very special, and it's a time in my life that I'm happy about. I just have to start getting my shit together and doing other things that earn me money that also feel good, you know? If you can do that, you're on a happy street. So that's all. Not too much, no great insights to give you or anything. I'm just really thrilled by the fact that I know there are people out there who I don't know who are listening. That's just the most fantastic feeling. Not only listening, but wanting to listen. That's just so great. So once again, thank you. Now listen, I don't know if I dare say this. I had a little toot the other night, a while back. Not going to say where or when, but I had a little toot. Went to bed and I listened to a couple of my own shows. And I know that sounds like yanking off, you know, it's... But I know every podcaster does that. Of course you do. You know, you've made something, you've created it. If you've done a painting, you're going to look at the damn thing, right? You put a podcast out, you're going to listen to it. Of course you are. But after that little toot, I felt really good. I really enjoyed it. And I thought, hey, no shit, this is pretty good. Now, it's embarrassing to say that. And I know there's poo-pooing going on right now. Hey, dude, you can't say that. But, well, what I'm telling you, basically, it's they're a lot better after a little poo-toot-de-toot-too. You know, a little Ricky Nelson, a little of whatever it is you put in your pipe. Makes for a much more interesting podcast, including the music. Now, I know some people just sort of fast-forward past the music. Yes, you know who I'm talking to. And, you know, that's okay, but, you know, the music generally, if there is any, it's really tied in to the content. If you search, if you look, if you really listen, you'll realize it's there for a reason. And, you know, give it a try. Nothing wrong with music. It's not random, is what I'm saying, although it may appear that way. Anyway, I had this feeling after that, my head swelled, and I thought, you know, and I got into this sort of almost a dream-like state where CBC had contacted me, and they wanted the entire backlog of Dicks and Janes, you know, and I thought, finally, recognition from CBC that, yeah, hey, this guy's Canadian, and he's offering up something Canadian, and it's real, and it's authentic, and, you know, we should be paying attention to this. That's what I felt. I was embarrassed to think that, of course, the next day, and I'm embarrassed to tell you right now, but I'm telling you because the dude tells you things that go on in this squirrely little mind that I've got. And that's what went on. I think it was in reaction to Raymond Moriam. I felt such a good connection with him and such a wonderful chance to talk. And, you know, I'm often putting myself down. I've done that in the past. Well, I am not worthy. And I thought, no, this, you know, it's human to human. You know, I'm not great like Raymond Moriam is great, and I'm not, I don't want to be, I haven't accomplished anything. That's not the point. But because somebody else is great doesn't mean you have to put yourself down or feel you're not worthy. You congratulate that other person for what it is they've achieved and what it is they're doing that's so wonderful, and you celebrate that. That's what you do. Now, where was I going with this? This is getting uncomfortable for me because I was trying to go somewhere with it, and I'm not sure where. Interviewing him? No. Letting him listen to one of my podcasts? No, for sure, no. My teachers have asked a little about it and thought, can they listen? And I'm not even comfortable with that. I'm sort of putting it off, and well, you know, especially that little preceding clip about the island, what would they think of that, you know? So I paint myself into a corner, you know, I make it so that I do this podcast that only certain people like you, the listener out there now, can actually listen, and I can't give this away to too many people. But that's fine. That's the way I like it. Yeah, you know, I had a thought in there. I had a connection in there. CBC... Yeah, no, I think it was just that I felt good. I listened to it, stoned, and felt good about what I've produced. And I still do. I believe in Dicks and Janes. There you go. If I didn't, I wouldn't be doing it. All right, that's it. Bye for now.
Gotta sneak this one in quickly. I'm in Montreal right now, and I just have to celebrate the fact that I'm in Montreal. God, I love my hometown. When I come home to Montreal, I get so excited when I see, you know, Windsor Station, when I see, you know, the street names, the old landmarks. This is my youth, this city. And boy, what a place to be young, grow up and come of age in, you know, especially the peak time of Expo 67. Anyway, I'm standing outside of a Notre Dame Cathedral, which those of you in the know that this is where Céline Dion was married. Also where Trudeau had his memorial service when he died. Our Prime Minister, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, for those not in the know. The wonderful thing about that service was that Fidel Castro was here as one of the honorary pallbearers. And I think that is so cool that a Canadian Prime Minister had the leader of Cuba here for his funeral, showing great honor. That just says to me, hey, there is a difference between the United States and Canada. This would be an example of one little thing, our politics. Anyway, I'm standing outside. All the girls are inside. It's been pouring rain. Normally the girls have free time. I take the teachers to this beautiful restaurant, the Jardin Nelson. I've been doing it for about 14 years. And we have crepes, beautiful crepes, and a carafe of white wine. It's one of the highlights of my day in Montreal. Because of the rain, we are not going to be able to do that. So instead, we treated the students. We sprung for tickets for them to come inside and see Notre Dame Cathedral. Got to be the most beautiful church in all of Canada. When you're inside, you are stunned by its beauty. And if you haven't seen it, or if you've never been to Montreal, what the hell's the matter with you? Come and visit. Soon we'll be getting back on the coach and on our way to Quebec City, where we'll be tonight, feasting, having traditional Quebec fare at the Sugar Shack on Île d'Orléans. So I'm excited. Bark Lake is behind me. I think I put up a podcast, this probably includes Bark Lake. I didn't have anything to say in Ottawa. We're in there for 2 days, in and out. Led the students through the Museum of Civilization to teach them the history of Canada. And while they were watching the changing of the guard, I got on my cell phone, called up my good friend, yours and mine, the one and only Mark Belevis. And he happened to be about a block or two away. He came over. We met at the statue of Pearson, another one of our prime ministers, who I was telling Mark, at one point, before he was famous, or was already a politician, had asked my father to be a secretary to him. And my father declined and went back to Sorel, to the shipbuilding industry, and continued to work for the Simard family instead. Again, those from Quebec may know these names. Marine Industries Limited, Davies Shipbuilding, their competitor across the way. I love that statue of Pearson. Oops, it's raining, gotta get out. The statue of Pearson, it's all bronze. You can rub his foot for good luck, like you would Timothy Eaton's foot for good luck. And so Mark and I had a nice little chat, and then realized the music had stopped. My girls had left without me, and we had to run. And there was one lone teacher standing waiting for me late. So here are my girls. It's time to put an end to this. And talk to you later from Quebec. Bye-bye. Inside, filling up on crepes and maple syrup. I'm on the
Ile d'Orléans, Orleans Island, and the middle of the St. Lawrence River. Lovely spot. We have just come to the Sugar Shack for our meal. This would be my 15th time. And it's just a wonderful thing. We get on the bus, leave Quebec City, drive along the St. Lawrence, and over onto the bridge, onto the island. And then we have our fill of traditional French-Canadian food while a young man, not so young, plays the accordion and the spoons and gets the girls practicing and playing along with them. It's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And the girls are just so excited. And, of course, they're loaded up on maple syrup and pretty high by the time we leave here. It's a great experience. It's one I really look forward to. And it's one of the things you can do as a group, and it's actually more fun as a group. Which begs the question, why am I out here then alone in the dark talking to you? But it's just you know, to get a little distance sometimes, once in a while, from the experience. I'm full. I always overeat. I mean, the meal consists of beans, coleslaw, potatoes, sausages, ham, tortillere, and half a dozen other things. And then fresh bread and pea soup, of course. And I just pig out and then need some time to digest. And, of course, they end it with three beautiful little crepes and all the maple syrup you can pour onto them. And then the last thing before getting on the bus, the thing that knocks the students out, is fresh maple toffee. So they take the hot maple syrup and pour it on the snow. They got a little few trays of snow. And the girls wrap a popsicle stick around the toffee and just eat it straight from the stick. And it's thick and gooey and chewy. And these faces light up as they eat this sweet, sticky maple syrup toffee. It's quite wonderful. Anyway, just an all-round good experience. And nice. I enjoy it, you know. But just to see the children, not children, 15, 16-year-old girls, to see them enjoying it is terrific. So that's it. I don't know. I just wanted to say I had a wonderful time. Actually, in Montreal, this, of course, is a record year for rainfall. And that's an unfortunate thing to happen when you're having a tour and doing sightseeing. But you got to make the best of it. And I've got a great guide. I travel with our own guide and our own bus driver, who's just terrific. Guy I've had for a few years now. And I sit right up front and chat with them. But anyway, for the rain today, we changed our plan, so went into Ile Notre Dame, this beautiful church that I told you about, and then stopped for lunch. And while the students went into a fast food McDonald's, I took the teachers over to kind of a traditional, you know, patat kind of place where you just get hot dog steamy and patats. But instead, as a real treat, a real Montreal treat, although it was on the South Shore, we had smoked meat sandwiches and poutine. Wow. The teachers just loved it, and bought smoked meat back for the driver and our guide, Judy. So that was fun, and it just felt great, and it's great to share, especially with the teachers, to say, hey, this is what we Montrealers like to eat, smoked meat sandwich, wow. And so now the music continues to play. Soon the girls will go into the shop and load up on maple syrup to bring back home, candies and tea to bring back home. Their folks and family and friends in Japan, and off we go. The teachers and I will go out, have a few drinks in the evening, as we do. I bought a bottle of wine, unfortunately. It cost me $22.50 for a bottle of Beaujolais in a local shop. It was the only place that was open, but we'll enjoy it. Anyway, I've got to get back to my group. I just thought I'd share that little bit with you. It's a happy, happy dude doing what he likes to do and what he feels so good about. And that's it. You'll have other times with a dude in a different mood altogether. You know where that's like, what that's like. All right, bye for now. Thank you.
Okay, producer, I'd like you to insert something here. Oops, sorry. Damn, shut up. To indicate a smooth transition. To show that perhaps I'm no longer where I last was. In fact, I know I'm not. I'm somewhere else. I'm sitting at the foot of a monument. And it says, quite simply, "Here died Wolf. September 13th, 1759. I think I'll tell you no further. I think any regular listener to this podcast, somebody who's listened to all this show, would know, of course, who I was referring to, as would any self-respecting Canadian. And not only that, exactly where I am. So that's it. There's your clue. Here died Wolf. September 13th, 1759. Yeah. Well, we all know it's Quebec City, of course. And it's great to be here. My 15th time, 15th summer out of 16 years. That's just great. Only missed SARS, and you know how bad that was for me. Damn, sorry about the static. I was sort of guided here, our guide today, this morning. Now, I don't know if I mentioned, but we had a guide in Ottawa who was so bad, we had to be kind because we were afraid she was just going to have a nervous breakdown right there and then on the bus and start crying. So we couldn't really do anything. We had to just sort of go along with it. But that was as bad as they come, the guide we had today in Quebec City, and a guide who I've had once before. In fact, a former producer for CBC, a dancer of 20 years in the United States, Brian, was just excellent with the students, and it really, really made Quebec interesting, and the history is just, you know, it's got to come from someone who loves the city, the place they're guiding you through, and if you don't have that love and passion, you can't do the job. And I've never seen in my life such an extreme between the very high-end, best you could hope for guide here in Quebec City, and the low-end, worst, your worst nightmare guide in Ottawa. It's ridiculous. Oh, well, what's the lesson there? Geez, do something you're passionate about, right? I think all the big people say that. Your C.C. Chapman's, your Mitch Joel's, your, I don't know, Harvey Langster. It's, you know, important. Believe in what you're doing. I do. I believe in what I'm doing. That's why I'm sitting here like a nutcase at the foot of this monument with, in the middle of a traffic circle, talking into a mic. Hey, maybe those people think I'm somebody important doing a report on Wolf. No, I'm not, and I could not be in a more conspicuous spot. However, far away from the teachers and students on my free time, it's 12:15 on Saturday, August 9th. Yesterday was 8:88. In fact, the first thing I came to, the first monument I came to, was a German cannon captured August 8th, 1918. Coincidence? You tell me. Anyway, I'm going to go for a little walk. I'm going to get a bite to lunch. We're going to L'Ancien Canadien tonight for supper, 5 o'clock. That's an early one. All the girls dress up in pretty dresses, and it's a very special occasion. We make a big deal out of it, you know. This is the one night you might consider dressing up. I bring out a tie and a jacket, and it's nice. And then we got free time from the end of supper, 7:30, quarter to 8, until about 9, to wander the streets up by the Champlain's Monument, of course, and just explore the promenade, the Rue du Trottoir, the local areas. If you haven't been to Quebec, folks, come to Quebec, because you're an idiot if you've got places to travel in North America and it's not on your list. Okay, listen, I better go. I've been babbling away, and damn, I'm sorry. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.